It doesn't take an extraordinary experience to make health feel like an extraordinary blessing. Even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
There are certain foods that cause allergic responses for many people. We're talking today about what you should know to avoid possible food-induced allergic reactions. My guest is Dr. Faith Huang, and she is an immunologist with Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Huang. Tell us a little
thank
bit about
so
the most common foods. Well, thank you. And tell us about the most common foods that we're seeing today, because we're seeing a whole myriad of allergies that we didn't see before. And what are we seeing today?
So definitely, the prevalence of food allergy has definitely increased over the past couple of decades. Just speaking from personal experience, when I was growing up, there were very, very few kids that I knew that had food allergies. And now it seems that, you know, a lot of even my friends who have young kids are developing food allergies. So that's something that I've seen personally, and the data is definitely showing an increase in prevalence. The most common foods in general are milk, egg, wheat, soy, peanut, tree nuts, fish, and shellfish. These are the most common foods that cause what we call immediate types of food allergy. Depending on your age, there's some foods that are more common than others. So if you're a young child, you're more likely to have milk or egg allergy, whereas if you're an adult, some of the more persistent allergies are more common, such as shellfish and nuts.
So, Dr. Huang, what do you theorize is the cause for the increase in allergies that we're seeing to all these things?
So that's a great question. It's actually a question I get, you know, every day in the office when I see patients, just because, you know, my patients are feeling just sort of this increase in prevalence as well. There's several different sort of theories. There's nothing that's concrete that's been proven, but some of the things that researchers are looking at are basically genetic factors as well as environmental factors. There's one prevalent theory that's the hygiene hypothesis, which is that when, we lived on farms, we were, playing or raising farm animals, our immune systems were more engaged in basically defending us from bacterial and other sort of infections. And now that we live in a cleaner environment, that's why it's called the hygiene hypothesis, our immune system is skewed towards the allergic side. So that's one theory that's pretty popular. It's not been proven, but it's certainly a good thought. There's other theories, just looking at all the studies between, food allergy prevalence in different countries, different countries that are either developed or developing, countries where peanuts are processed differently. For example, in the U.S., we usually roast peanuts, whereas in China, peanuts are usually boiled. So there's a thought that it could be the way that the food is processed, the way that we're exposing ourselves to the different food allergens. There's, other sort of proposed mechanisms that are still being studied, like vitamin D insufficiency, the timing of exposure to foods. But in general, most people in the field feel that genetics as well as environmental issues are playing a role in this increase.
Well, I have heard that over-sanitization theory myself many times, and the use of antibiotics in our food and the sanitizers we use everywhere. You know, it does seem a distinct possibility, but now that we are dealing with these, and so many schools have peanut-free tables and peanut-free classrooms, and, you know, we see the wheat allergies on the rise as well, what are we looking at for treatment and managing these allergies that we're seeing becoming so prevalent now?
Right. So I'm going to kind of qualify my answer in terms of sort of, you mentioned wheat. So in talking about sort of the potential therapies that research is being done, Basically, I'm going to first talk about therapies that will target what we call an IgE-mediated food allergy. So that basically means that it's an immediate allergy. You have the allergic antibody, which is IgE. That's the antibody that, you know, when your immune system kind of goes awry, it can target specific foods that you normally should be fine with, but instead you have an allergic reaction. So with wheat, you know, I know it's something that I have patients come in every day into our office and ask me about. There's sort of like three different ways I think about sort of wheat issues. So the first one is wheat allergy, which is sort of that immediate IgE-mediated type of process. That's if you eat wheat, a couple of minutes later, maybe up to an hour or two later, you have immediate types of symptoms like hives, throat swelling, vomiting, diarrhea, hypotension. There's also celiac disease, which affects the small intestine, and that's also sort of another type of immune response to gluten, which is a food protein that's in wheat, and that results in intestinal, you know, damage and also some malnutrition. And then I'm also just seeing a lot of patients who I classify as gluten sensitivity. A lot of patients are telling me that, you know, they feel gassy, bloated, some abdominal discomfort. They don't have celiac disease, and they don't have immediate wheat allergy. But when they cut gluten out, they're seeing an improvement in their symptoms. So those are sort of the, you know, three types of wheat issues that I think of. You mentioned peanut, okay? So that in general is more usually a immediate type of reaction. There's definitely numerous research studies going all around the country that are focusing on treatment specifically for the immediate type of food allergy. One of the most prominent things that has actually been in the news quite often recently is oral immunotherapy. So this basically is a therapy that's still being researched, and it requires the patient, let's say you're allergic to peanut, to start consuming a very, very tiny, tiny amount of peanuts, and then subsequently, usually over the course of months, to begin increasing that amount to larger and larger amounts until your body is basically desensitized to it. So this is a sort of area of research that there's intense focus on at this point. And basically, there is very promising data that by doing this, you can desensitize someone, probably over at least half of the patients to, let's say, peanuts. So the question
now, Dr. Huang, that has to be done in the present. That has to be done really in a carefully controlled environment, correct?
Definitely. Most of the studies that are ongoing are done at sort of research centers within clinical trials. It's actually interesting that you asked that, because there's actually a recent article that was published in sort of our field journal, Jackie in Practice, which actually talks about the research of some physicians in private practice who are actually doing this type of therapy. So it's definitely very controversial whether or not this needs to be done sort of in a clinical trial, in a, you know, research setting, versus doing it in private practice. So I think, you know, it's always good when, you know, two groups of very smart physicians kind of, you know, have controversy, because it means that we're thinking about sort of what is the best route for our patients.
We're just about out of time. In just the last minute, please, if you would, wrap up your best advice about food allergies, the parents whose children have them, you know, schools, just in about a minute. Please give us your best advice about allergies.
Sure. I mean, I think my best advice is that if you suspect a potential food allergy, the best thing to do is see a board-certified allergist immunologist to get the correct diagnosis. You don't want to sort of be avoiding foods that you don't need to actually avoid. You want to know exactly what you do need to avoid, because that's still the standard care at this point, avoidance of what you're allergic to. And then you want to work with that allergist in emergency planning, sort of what to do if an allergic reaction happens, some steps that you can take to avoid those accidental ingestions. And, you know, I think my best advice is to really talk to your allergist about sort of a treatment plan and how to live your life in a rational way with food allergies.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number four, health.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.